Testament to the book of Judges in chapter number 1 this morning. Judges chapter number 1, seventh book in the Bible. Judges chapter number 1, and shared a message in chapel, school, at the school chapel a few weeks ago, and Lord kind of gave me some thoughts to share this morning on that and build on that. But in Judges chapter number 1, I believe it's what the Lord wants to challenge us with. In this passage of Scripture, Moses had passed away and Israel had gone into the promised land, being led by Joshua. They had conquered the land that God had for them, dispersed that amongst the different tribes of Israel. And one of the two that remained from that first generation that was able to enter into the promised land, Caleb, of course Joshua being the other. Caleb is an older man. He had had his possession, and he wasn't afraid. He took that land, he being even elderly, and did not allow any excuses and took what God had for him. But there was a part of land near him that he desired. And that's what we're reading about here, and he lays out a challenge. And if you want to read it with me in Judges chapter 1 and starting in verse number 12, it says, "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it to him, will I give Achsa my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achsa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you, God, for the word of God. And I just pray you'd open our eyes. The psalmist said that we'd behold wondrous things out of your law today. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide. And Lord, whatever our spiritual need is, he knows even more than we know. And I just pray that you'd minister to us today through your word. Father, I yield myself to you. I just pray that, Lord, you'd put a hedge about this place and challenge all of us. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you'd help and encourage all of us today that are believers. Lord, with this simple thought, in your name I do pray. Amen. So here, Caleb, he points out the land of Kirjath Sefer. Later on, this area would be known as Debir, right? D-E-B-I-R. But Kirjath Sefer means house of books. They have done some archaeological work there, and lots of scrolls and things. And they believe it to have been a place where maybe like an education town, a learning town, or whatever the case was. But it was a big place, and that everyone knows. And obviously, it would have been very well defended. And so Caleb says, he lays this challenge out, whoever can take this town, Kirjath Sefer, you can marry my daughter, Achsa, and she will be your wife. And you know, I'm glad we don't do things the same way today, right? You know, I mean, although, you know, yeah, hope's like no. I know, all right. But anyways, right? But you know, he offered that, and of course, one stepped up, Othniel, who would later be a judge in Israel. But Othniel, he stepped up and he took Kirjath Sefer and conquered it, and he married Achsa, and so. Once they're married, she got that had an inheritance from her father Caleb, and was described as the Southland, and had this land. But she goes to her husband, her new husband, and she talks to him about asking her father for a spring of water, because land is good, land is great, and they could build a house there and a home there. But they would never have the fruit and be as fruitful as they could be without the springs of water. I mean, a big piece of land without water, I mean, you can live there, but it's going to be a challenge. And so she talked to her husband about it, and her husband agreed, and so she goes, and she approaches her father. When she gets there, she rides the donkey, and as soon as her dad sees her coming, he says, "What wilt thou?" She had that look in her eye that every parent knows when their kids come up to you and they're about to ask for something, right? And so there, she's coming up, and he says, "All right, what do you need? What do you want?" And she gets off of that donkey, and which was a sign of respect and honor, to her father, and she goes to her father, and she says, "You've already blessed me with an inheritance." He said, "But I would like a spring of water." And she asked for something from her dad, and he gave it to her. I think a lot of times there's a New Testament principle that the Lord taught us that ye have not because ye ask not. One thing that I believe that we see a lot in this Christian world that we live in today is that there's a whole lot of Christians today that we're glad that we're saved and we're glad we're not going to hell. And I can amen that. Man, are you glad you're saved today? Amen, right? Praise the Lord that I have a Father in heaven who gave me His Son so that I could have eternal life. It ought to excite every one of us to know that we're not going to that place called hell. Hell is a real place. The Bible, Jesus, when He spoke more about hell than He did heaven. Not because it's wonderful and glorious, but because it's real. And it is not God's or the Lord Jesus' desire that anyone die and go to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God created us a different place. It's called heaven. And it's God's desire that everyone go to heaven. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's desire that every person in this world hears the truth, believes the truth, and has a relationship with Him. I'm glad that I have a relationship with the Father. It's not because of the person I am, not because of what I've done. It's all because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I, today, and already have, as you have too, we bowed our head and prayed and talked to the Father. Praise the Lord, He hears us because we're His child. What a blessing it is to know it. And that is a great inheritance. Jesus said before He left and went to the cross, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." God has a place for us in heaven one day. That has been prepared because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is there before a holy God, and every sinner that calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and believes what He did for them on the cross, that blood speaks on our behalf, and praise the Lord, we can go to heaven because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many people that live in this world and they say, "I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to go to heaven." But the Bible says very clearly, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to heaven, and if you're going to heaven, it's not because of what we've done, because of our faith in the One who did it all. And praise the Lord, He didn't just die for our sins. Had He stayed dead, sin would have won. Because the wages of sin is what? But He didn't stay in the grave. 3 days later, He arose from the grave. Amen. Which showed not only has our sins been covered, but they've been conquered. Amen. And we too can have eternal life, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I can go to heaven. Now, if you're saved today, you have an inheritance. You have heaven to look forward to. I get all that. To come back to this point, I believe there's way too many Christians today, people that are saved, that are really glad they're going to heaven, but they're content living like the world. They're glad they're going to heaven, and they have trusted in Christ, but the thought of, you know, being sold out to God, the thought, remember our Bible verse last month, all right? We got a new one starting tonight. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth" what? Fruit. and that your fruit should. And then what's the promise there? Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, he may what? Give it you. God's desire is that you and I bear what? Fruit. And we have the promise that whatsoever we ask of the Father, he may give it you. Amen? God wants us to bear fruit. He is the vine, we are the branches. God desires for us, and here's the sad part, there's so many Christians who are just fine and dandy saying, well, I'm going to heaven, so what's the big deal? I'm going to heaven, you know, but I'm not going to be, you know, a fanatic about this Christianity thing. I'm going to heaven. Have you told anybody else? Well, no, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but, you know, one time a week church, it is, yeah, whoa, don't be asking for nothing more, right? I'm going to heaven. And we're content with the fact that we know we're going to heaven, and praise the Lord for that, but God desires more for you. God desires to give you. And then we hear all about this Christianity and this Christian life where there's abundant joy. You know, if you're not sold out and you're not like seeking to bear fruit, you're never going to understand that joy that's being talked about. But righteousness and holiness, well, you know, I don't get carried away. I like my world. I like my music. I like my whatever, fill in the blank, right? I know I'm not going to be a fanatic about it, but then you wonder, you know, what's all this peace about, this Christian life's about? What's all this joy about? What's all this contentment about? Why are all these people singing like they are? I love watching people sing in church, man. Man, there's some, you know, like, at the cross. If you ever want encouragement, watch Miss Campbell sing. It's awesome, right? You know, all the burdens of my heart rolled away. Yeah, right? I mean, she's excited about it. Amen. Those that are just like, I'm glad I'm saved, but don't ask for nothing more. They're like, cross. All the burdens of my heart rolled away. And you're just missing something. And you look around and you're like, you know, why are they always smiling? What's up with this, you know, joy? And because they ask for more. They ask for more. I mean, that's what the Lord said. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. Fruit. Now, you're saved, but go and bring forth fruit. And I love this story because here, Oxa, all right, Oxa, she had an inheritance. And she had a husband. They could have went and dwelt on this south land and probably had a decent life. Praise the Lord, you and I, you're saved today. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to talk all the, and not the topic of the sermon, but to be the bride of Christ, what a wonderful thing. Amen. He's the heavenly bridegroom. Praise the Lord for that. And then praise the Lord, we have a Father in heaven. Amen. And the Father has given us an inheritance with the heavenly bridegroom. Amen. I mean, here we are. We're like Oxa. I mean, we're blessed. We got an inheritance. We got a wonderful, wonderful bridegroom. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. But the Father in heaven says, ask for more. Ask for more. And when she comes and asks this, it pleased Caleb so much to give her more. He was just waiting for her to ask because she needed the springs in order to bring forth fruit. Amen. We just got way too many, I believe, that we just sit in our pew and we're doing the Christian thing and we're just getting by on the Christian thing and we're just glad we're going to heaven. And yes, we got an inheritance and I'm not taking away from that, but you're missing out on a lot more that God has for you. And I want you to just consider a couple things real quick. I just wrote these down. I'll give them to you. Number one, she thought about what she wanted before she asked. Right? She thought about what she wanted before she asked. She didn't just come up to her dad and say, "Got anything else?" That's not what she said. She specifically asked for a spring of water. She thought about what she wanted before she asked. I want to challenge us, different sermon this morning, but I want to challenge us as Christians today. Now, number one, if you're not saved, you need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, a relationship with Him, your entire life will change, and you'll never have a home in heaven until you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's His will that you have a relationship with Him. God wants to be your Father. He wants you to be one of His children, and that is done by faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I want to challenge those that are saved to ask for more. I want Kazada Baptist Temple, I want us to ask for more. Ask for more. Not just be content, "I'm going to heaven, I'll just do my own thing now." No, ask for more. But don't just come to an altar. Don't just bow your head to end the service and say, "All right, Lord, I want more." No, no, no. She thought about what she wanted. What do you want to ask God for? I want you to think about it today. I think it'd do every one of us in this auditorium good to come and bow the knee today and ask God for more. But ask Him specific. What do you want? And I'm not talking, you know, $1 million. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. All right? God is not a genie in heaven. All right? He wants to give you that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, He may give it you when it's about bearing fruit. What it's about, the Lord's will. So what do you mean? Think about what I asked for. Maybe Brother Chad wants to pray this year, "God, give me more souls. Give me 5 souls this year." Think about it. I want to see Sunday school teachers, my Sunday school class, I want to see them grow this year. I'm going to need to grow in the Lord so I can give them something. Ask Him for more. Maybe your Bible study is struggling, your personal walk with God. Maybe your prayer life's not existent. Ask for more. Maybe it's for your kids. Your burden for them. Ask for more. But ask Him. She thought about what she wanted before she went and asked. We just get a lot of times this little generality Christianity thing going on. Or like our prayer life consists of, "Lord, forgive me wherever I failed you. And Lord, help me to do whatever you want me to do." Okay. But we need to confess our sins, right? Acknowledge them, right? Don't just say, "Forgive me wherever I failed you." That's pretty simple to do. Instead, "God, forgive me. I lied. I lied yesterday talking to that person. And God, I need your forgiveness." And the same way with asking for more. He didn't say, "Dad, will you just give me something?" He goes, "Dad, I would like a spring. I would like a spring." And I want to challenge every believer in this room this morning to stop and think about this morning what you can ask for. I mean, you think, well, that's just kind of weird. That was our whole scripture last month, right? "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Nor danger, you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, He may" what? But you got to ask. So what do you want? What do you want this year? What are you looking for this year? The reality is most Christians just live in another year. Not looking for anything special, just want to survive. Not looking for any kind of fruit, just want to get by. Now ask Him for something. Mom and Dad, ask for something for your family this year. Ask for something for that bus route this year. Ask for something in your spiritual life this year. If it's been a while since you've been able to lead anyone to the Lord, if you've never led someone to the Lord, ask Him this morning. "God, give me one." You think that would please the Father? If a whole church came and bowed their knee and asked the Father for something in His will that you know He wants, that you know He would love to see, man, the Father in heaven would rejoice to give that to His children. So she thought about what she wanted before she asked. Number two, she sought counsel about what she needed to ask. She went, first thing she did, she went to her spiritual authority, her husband. And she said, what do you think about this? I say that to say this, maybe you're like, not been saved that long. Maybe a Christian life, this is new, we're learning. But I'm not really sure what to ask for. I mean, do like she did. You know, come to somebody in the church, come to myself, Brother Tyler, be standing up here at the end of service. And talk. Let's seek some counsel together. We'll pray with you about what to ask for. We'll pray with you this week about maybe what God could maybe do for you this year. Let's seek some counsel. You know, we'll talk about sports. We'll talk about games. We'll talk about a football game coming up next week. We'll talk about everything under the sun, money markets and Bitcoin and whatever topics are, right? When was the last time you sat with someone in church and had a spiritual conversation? How about sitting with someone this today and say, all right, brother, sister, I'm praying for this year. Will you join me in praying for this? She went to the spiritual authority in her life and said, what do you think about this? So she sought counsel, what she should ask for. Number three, I love this. She knew the Father that she was about to ask. Amen. She had a great relationship with her Father. And you see that in two things. But number one, when she got to her Father, number one, she humbled herself. If she would have sat and not gotten off of that donkey, and the reason, everything that's in the Scripture has a reason for having it in her, right? When it says that she approached and she got off that donkey, right? That's because in those days, right, if she stayed on that donkey, she was saying that she was the authority and that he had to look up to her. When she got off that donkey, she was recognizing you deserve respect. You deserve honor. And she was humbling herself before her Father. It's a matter of reverence and respect. Today, Miss Lauren came up and sang with her husband, and Brother Jordan and myself, we stood, right? Why? Because we're giving respect and honor to a lady. She got off that donkey to show respect and honor to her Father. She had a relationship with the Father, but one of reverence and respect. I want you this morning, church, to think about what you want to ask for more. I want us this morning, if we need to seek counsel about what to ask for. I want us this morning to approach our Father in heaven in a humble heart. In other words, we're not coming asking for a new car this year, you know, brand new to be the nicest car in the parking lot. That's prideful and lustful. But maybe you need a car because you need to get back and forth to work to provide for your family and to minister and whatever and say, Lord, I do need this. Okay. Ask. Amen. But come before Him today in humility. Whatever you want, God, You're the authority. And give Him the honor and come to Him humble. But also, she came eager. She came humble, but she came knowing, this is so awesome, that she could ask her Father. And she came knowing that He'd want to answer. I mean, as she's approaching, He saw her and said, what wilt thou? He was ready to give whatever it was she was about to say. And Hebrews says this, that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find help in our time of need. God wants us to come, and He's on the throne, so we come humbly. But He wants us to come eagerly. God, You're my Father. You told me to ask, and here's what I'd like. She knew. She thought about what she wanted before she asked. She sought counsel about what she wanted. She knew who the Father that she was about to ask. I like this. Number four, she mingled praise with her request. Verse number 15 says there, I'll read 14 again. It came to pass when she came to him, as she moved him to ask of her father a field, she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. She made sure that she thanked him for what he had given her. She wasn't coming with an ungrateful heart, like, why didn't you give me more? But she came saying, thank you for what you've done. And I believe we want to see God do some great things in our life. Think about what you want to ask for more. I think if we need to, get some counsel. Know the Father that you're coming to ask, and come boldly, but come humbly. But then when you come today, make sure you thank Him for what He has done in your life. Make sure you thank Him for your salvation. Make sure you thank Him for heaven. Make sure you thank Him for your family. Make sure you thank Him because He's been good to us. Amen. Everyone in this auditorium, God's been good to us. God has blessed us so much. We all have so much to thank Him for. Make sure we praise Him. And we come with praise. Thank you, Father, for what you have done. And I only ask what I'm about to ask because I want you to do more. She knew, she mingled it with praise. Number five, she knew in asking that there would be more fruit. What we're about to ask for, I hope it's for the reason that it might bring fruit, and fruit that remains. Again, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, He may give it you. Let's go to Him and ask for these things for this purpose, that we might bear more fruit, which is the Father's will. I mean, anything that we ask, God said, I'm going to answer it if it's in His will. It is God's will. I can tell you this. Do you know God's will for my life? I do. I do know God's will for your life. As much as I can say this, He wants to bear fruit through you this year. Every one of us. He wants us to bear fruit. Just a lot of times we miss it because we don't ask. Because we're just content with our get out of hell free card. I'm not belittling salvation. The typical Christian, just we don't want to think past that. When God's just waiting, the Father's waiting, say, I want to do more. I want to do more. God's been good to Brother Joshua, Miss Lauren. God's been good. My mom, how long you been saved? Caught you. 66 years she's been saved. And in church, her entire life. I'm not telling you how old she is. I'll get in trouble, right? But, right? You say, well, God has used my mom for a long time. But my mom, who's been saved 66 years, should be desiring from the Father that she bear more fruit this year. God's been good to her. But it's not time to sit back. God's given her breath to bear fruit. God's been good to Joshua and Lauren. Been good. God wants them to bear fruit. They have a teen class to work with. Ask for more. Ask for more. God's been good to your family. Ask for more. Mike's been in church this year. Praise the Lord. His encouragement. Bear fruit this year, Mike. Ask for more. Brother Doug's been sitting in that same spot for years. Ask for more. That we might bear fruit. That we can just, man, go to the Father and say, thank you that you gave me what you've given me, and here I want to present this to you and bear more fruit. She knew it was about the fruit. And my last point is this, then we're going to close. Ready? She got what she wanted. and more. Amen. You know what our Father said? He said, see that upper spring? That's yours. You can just see her. Thank you. She starts to turn around and goes, wait. You can have the lower spring too. Oh, that's awesome. Come on now, right? You can have the lower spring too. You are going to find, if you'll come to the Father and you say, I just want more. I want to do something this year. I'm asking for more. I want to bear fruit for you. I'm going to need a spring. I'm going to need it. God will say, I've been waiting for you to ask. And I'm going to give you what you want. By the way, I'll give you more than you even asked for. Because that's the God we have. Would you bow your heads this morning? I want to challenge